Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. Word of God, word of life. Let us read the psalm responsively. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream.
Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses of the Negev.
Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy.
Those who walk weeping, buried in the sea, will come in with joy, shouldering their sheaves.
A reading from Philippians. Paul writes, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, O Christ. You may be seated. Two questions. What does love smell like? And are sinners welcome? As I have pondered the progression of these past few weeks through Lent, these questions come to the fore. Certainly, the second question comes from hearing those Pharisees and scribes who were grumbling about the table company that Jesus kept. There are all kinds of reasons that they had concern. I suspect some of the reasons we conjure in the 21st century may betray centuries of overt and accidental anti-Semitism. These biases get baked into the way people talk about faith stories. They are hard to escape. But to be sure, the story of Jesus is one where he is often found to be hanging out with the wrong crowd. Christians are fond of saying that all are welcome. Some even say that the church is rightly understood as a hospital for sinners. You all know the cliches. Then certain people come through the door or are identified for leadership or are ordained. And well, some might understand them to be too great a sinner for the community. Grumbling ensues. And yet, the scriptures tell the story of Jesus choosing those community members whom polite society would not share table fellowship with. And polite society was a bit quick to call Jesus a drunkard and a glutton. You know, all that eating and drinking with the wrong people. Today, as the church hears the story of Jesus, we shift from Luke's telling of the story to John's telling of the story. The story moves from Luke speaking about those grumbling Pharisees and scribes to another dinner party with surprising guests. Well, actually, it isn't so much the guests as the host. The author of John's Gospel invites us into the house of Lazarus of Bethany. You know him. He's the guy who died. Indeed, died so bad that he had started to stink. 3 days old kind of stinky. But Jesus came and called him out of the tomb. And Jesus called the community that had gathered around him to unbind this Lazarus. Now, Lazarus had two sisters. Ooh, boy, those sisters let Jesus have it when he showed up at the tomb. They were certain that Lazarus would not have died if Jesus had not been, well, dilly-dallying along the way. You know them. Martha. She's the sister who made sure that the hospitality was just so. And Mary. She's the sister who, it's reported, hung out with the guys, listening to every word that Jesus said. In this telling of the story, Mary breaks out the way too expensive ointment for Jesus' feet. I mean, this is a monumentally lavish gift. Frankly, for all those gathered, it was an embarrassing gesture. In fact, some commentators note that Judas, well, Judas was only saying what everybody was thinking. Who hasn't been at that event where someone was so starstruck, so passionate about their appreciation for a guest of honor or of some celebrity that, well, one just had to look away? Their gushing was an embarrassment to themselves and pretty much everybody who was seeing it. I mean, imagine pulling out ointment worth the better part of a year's wages. Seriously, 300 denarii when a denarius was a typical day's wage. That is some kind of devotion. But looking away is not enough. The nard is so fragrant that the whole house smelled of it. Nobody could escape it. I don't know about you, but I've been to places, public places. In fact, it was a church out east where they had signs all around the building inviting people not to wear perfume because people have allergies to strong scents. This nard would have required a serious warning for those with olfactory allergies. Judas had to say something. As much as I start to think about the smell of love, and I find myself starting to think about, well, my grandmother's ginger snaps in the oven. What does love smell like? But you see, Mary's gesture blows away any image that I can come up with. If this is what Mary's love smells like, what might God's love smell like? Some have suggested that God's love smells like that experience of rain in the air, or spring as trees bud and flowers begin to bloom. Felicia Rashad's character so loved the smell of baby heads that her husband Cliff did everything he could to steer her away from them at all costs. Maybe God's love smells like that loamy, rich soil that cannot help but produce beautiful young plants that will feed the world. In this, God's love perhaps smells like life, abundant and filled with promise. God's love is hope and grace. Indeed, God's love is forgiveness and compassion and mercy and faithfulness that stretches from everlasting to everlasting. And welcome, sinners.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.